Hey, welcome to episode 16 of the Super Podcast, and I'm Super Musty.
I'm joined with Stephen from the Empire Magazine Movie Forum.
Hello.
Now, in case anybody's forgotten, you were my very first podcasting guest.
I was, and I'm also your most popular.
Yes, everybody loves you. And for anybody who doesn't know, you post... Well, they should know, but you post at Empire as Big Butter Boomba, or they can alternatively find you on Twitter as Coked Up Baby Boy.
Yes, we won't go into the usernames and their meanings.
Yes, just like I'm Super Marcy and my Twitter is Super Marcy, and it has many meanings behind it, most of them dirty. So our topic for discussion... is movies from 10 years ago, so movies from 1999.
Yes, because it was a big year for movies.
It was a very big year for movies, and we're just thinking about that we've had a whole, you know, big decade, but 1999 was, you know, one of the big standout years for movies, and I think a lot of really influential movies came out that year, so we will discuss them and... the good, the bad, and the ugly, I suppose.
Yes.
So I think we'll just kind of go a bit more alphabetically.
Yeah, so we'll do like an A to Z thing.
Yeah, but first we'll start with numbers.
Yeah.
One movie that I really, really enjoyed that year because, you know, in 99 I was 14, 15, so, you know, it was a big year for being a teenager.
Yeah.
And it was a big year for... sneaking into the cinema because I wasn't quite 15 to see MA-rated movies. yeah, but one which I think we should touch on is 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yes.
Did you like it?
I do, and it's one of only, like, two high school movies from, like, the late 90s that has, like, had a reputation still for being decent.
Right? Yeah, it was really good. Like, it was they based it as they were doing back then. On Shakespeare, which is The Taming of the Shrew, which I think I read, but I can't remember it. And this was basically the movie that introduced everyone to Heath Ledger.
It was, yeah.
And I really liked him in it. I thought he was quite good.
Yes, and he was very cute too.
Yeah, he was. He had that curly, dark hair in it.
Yeah.
But he was really good. And I also liked that he just kept his accent in it as well.
Yeah.
And... that movie also had Julia Stiles, who was pretty much, she was a big thing back then.
Yeah, she was popular for like 3 or 4 years and now she's just kind of...
disappeared.
Gone.
Yeah, and another person who's actually really come out a lot recently is Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who
was
the other guy in it. Yeah, this was an early movie for him because he was on TV in Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the last few years he's really come out and made some really great movies.
Yeah, and he's got, like, massive reputation for being this, like, really, you know, good actor
who
picks all these, you know, good roles and blah, blah, blah. He's really cool. Yeah, like, he's turned out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have expected him to, like, do anything.
Do that, yeah, because he was more comedic.
Yeah, he was just, like, a random sitcom guy.
Yeah, and then he's, like, yeah, more recently it's come out.
Yeah.
You know, with serious roles like Mysterious Skin and Brick and maybe not so serious with G.I. Joe this year, but still he was a highlight of that movie.
I didn't even know he was in G.I. Joe.
Yeah. He's hidden behind a really silly mask through most of it.
Oh, okay.
But you'll know it's him if you see the movie. But, yeah, basically I thought 10 Things. It was a big movie back then and it was a lot of fun, so...
yeah,
for me, probably. That was good. I just quickly touch on another movie, which I liked when I first saw it, but I watched it again. It wasn't that good. I don't know if you saw it. It was 8mm with Nicolas Cage.
I did. That was... and I don't had, know if I'm remembering this. Like,
it had Joaquin Phoenix in it as well.
It had who?
Joaquin Phoenix in it as well.
Yeah.
It was the snuff film one.
Yeah.
I
always get 8mm mixed with Snake Eyes because they came out around the same time.
Yeah, Snake Eyes was the casino one, I think.
Yeah, it was.
8mm was R-rated movie about snuff film.
Yeah.
I saw it a few years ago and it wasn't as good as I remember it being.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was still a decent Nicolas Cage movie.
I haven't seen it since it first came out, but I remember when it came out, for some weird reason on video, it was like this big hit and everyone was watching it. Yeah.
It was always out at the video store.
Yeah. Okay. There was like 8mm, Face Off and Snake Eyes when Nick Cage was starting to kind of become a bit more commercial and popular, and these movies randomly were just watched by everybody.
Yeah, since then he's kind of gone a bit downhill and had ridiculous hair.
It just doesn't look very good anymore.
Yeah. We could move on to, I think, what was probably maybe like the biggest comedy of the year. Yep. I could be wrong, but for me, it was kind of, I don't think it started off big, but I think it ended up being really big because it just got word of mouth, just everyone wanted to see it, and that would be American Pie, which gave us back the what would you call it, like the gross out teen comedy.
Yeah, genre. Well, we hadn't had anything like that since, like, I think the 80s.
Since the 80s, pretty much, like yeah. But
so it was the first time, like, our generation had, like, our version of it.
Yeah, and it was just so popular. Now, did you see this at the cinemas, or?
I can't remember if I saw it at the cinemas. I do know that my sister's boyfriend's parents didn't actually realise what type of movie it was, and they went to see it at the cinemas, and they're, like, 50, and they were... They were amused by it, but it was just funny.
Well, guess who I went and saw this movie with?
Your mum?
I went and saw it with my mum. And this is, like, one of my mum's favourite movies ever. After we saw it, when it finally came out on video, we got it on video and we were showing it to, like, our family. And they all thought it was hilarious.
No, I can't say that I shared it with my mum.
Well, I did see Bruno this year sitting next to my mother, so I think I can handle it now. I can handle seeing these kinds of movies with my mum.
Well, the one thing I liked about American Pie, other than obviously the pie fucking scene, was the scene with Shannon Elizabeth in the bedroom.
Oh my god.
Every time that comes on, I always sit down and watch it. I think it's so funny.
It is insane, and it's just, you don't expect it, and all of a sudden, oh, her clothes have come off. Oh, she's masturbating. And he's going to go in there. And you just know he's going to do something fucking stupid.
I mean, I think that's why it was so popular, because, I mean, really, it was as dirty as teenagers are, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It so was we were all watching filthy. It and just laughing our asses.
Yeah, I mean, it's the beginning. I mean, it starts off when he's like, he's trying to watch porn and it's like not really coming through properly, and his parents come in and see what he's doing. Oh, it's fucking funny.
Yeah, but
it's just it's about the awkwardness of being, you know, a teenager and trying to have sex, and it's just not exactly what you want it to be.
Exactly.
But it's done in such a funny way. And has anyone in that movie actually taken off at all?
Jason Biggs is kind of, I mean, he's still doing stuff, but he's not kind of like disappeared a into actor anything,
nothing.
I think like he did a Woody Allen movie like a couple of years ago.
I mean, he worked with my sister with a movie that I didn't think was very good, which was Wedding Days with Isla Fisher. It just came out in Australia like I think a couple of months ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't heard of that.
No, if you see it at Blockbuster, you can check it out. But it's average. I don't know. He hasn't really done all that much.
No, I know Shannon Elizabeth has, like, completely disappeared from the
I mean, she was promising with her looks and fake boobs, but
yeah, I think when you show your boobs first up, I don't think it leaves much else.
I mean, she was in Jack Frost where she was attacked naked in the shower by the killer snowman.
Didn't she get raped by his carrot?
Yeah, something like that. I've seen him for so long. Well, we all know what happened to Tara Reid.
Oh, Tara Reid.
She's a mess.
Yeah, I do feel sorry for her. I really try not to say bad things about her because she seems so miserable. But what a fucking dead career. Like, yeah. Honestly.
And what was the other girl? Natasha Lyonne kind of went downhill.
Mina Suvari is still popping around.
Yeah, she's done some decent movies. Like
she does a lot of like indie stuff.
Like I really liked Stuck which she did.
Is that that man stuck in the
window? Yeah, yeah. Random. And she actually, another film that my sister did, which is The Mysteries of Pittsburgh, she has a small role in that.
Yeah. So, is that the shaved head one where she shaved her head or something?
No, she's just normal in that one.
Never mind.
I think, like, Chris Klein basically went on to do Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li.
Yeah.
Very tragic.
Has he cut his hair yet? Because I haven't seen him lately.
Oh, I hope so.
After him and Katie...
he went off the rails, really.
What's her face?
Katie Holmes.
Katie Holmes. After they broke up, he just kind of vanished.
Yeah. And who else was there? I don't even remember.
What's his face? Stifler?
Oh, well, yeah. He's the only one, actually, isn't he?
He's not popping up everywhere, but he's done.
He's still making movies. Like, what was the last one? Was, like, Role Models and
stuff like that.
I mean, he's probably the one that's been the best off, really.
Yeah.
I mean, he still plays those kind of roles because I think he just got typecast as Stifler.
Well, yeah, he's a comedy actor, really. Yeah.
But he works well when he does it.
Yeah. I like him as an actor.
Yeah, cool. I mean, no one else. But yeah, he's probably the only really the one that kind of did anything. And, you know, Stifler's mum always pops up in something. Jennifer Coolidge.
She's always in something. With a plastic face.
Yeah. She always looks weird. American Pie.
Yes.
Big movie for 99. I think it was very iconic, and it got a lot of, it started the trends for these kinds of movies.
It did, yeah.
So it was a trendsetter. I think another really big movie that year, and it won a lot of awards, was American Beauty.
I love American
Beauty. I love it too.
I don't know anyone who doesn't like this movie.
Oh, if they don't like it, I mean, I respect people's opinions, but I will slap you. I hope someone writes in and says, I hate that movie. I want you to slap me. I will slap you.
No, that was a cool movie.
Did you see this at the cinema?
No, I didn't. I saw it on video.
No, I saw it at the cinema. I can't remember if it came out when I was old enough to be able to see it. I think it was MA. But I did see it with someone from school. We went and saw it, and I was, like, crying.
Really? Why?
I just got sad. I was like, ooh.
It is kind of sad, yeah.
But it's such a good movie.
It is good, and my favourite character in the whole thing is Mina Suvari.
Oh, yeah, Mina Suvari again.
The pretend slut.
Gimmick that she's got going on. Actually, she shows her boobies in this movie.
And do you know who else shows her boobies?
Thora Birch.
And those are some crooked boobies.
They were pretty big, too. And whatever happened to Wes Bentley, who was the creepy neighbour guy?
Nothing, but I had a thing for him when I first saw that
movie.
Well,
I think we all did, but...
It was that, like, psycho eyes thing.
Yeah, it was the weird boy next door obsession thing. And I always forget, the guy that plays his dad was Chris Cooper. And he was fucking creepy in this movie.
Yeah, he was. He was, like, a creepy pedophile in that movie.
That's what he looked like, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Ugh. Actually, one thing I loved about this movie was, it's something that I realised after when it really became my favourite horror movies. I actually have a conversation about Reanimator in it.
Oh, do that?
Yeah. I noticed that, like, after I'd seen it later on, when the movie was, like, more fresh in my mind, then I'm like, oh, they're talking about Reanimator. Cool.
They don't name the movie?
I think so. They're talking about, like, the head. I haven't seen American Beauty for a while. I have to watch it again. But, yeah, Kevin Spacey won his Oscar for this movie.
Yeah, he was very good in that. So was Annette Bening.
Yeah, she just missed out, but she was, like, ready to have her baby that night. I remember those awards so well. She's, like, ready to pop out with her baby.
Warren Beatty's baby.
Yeah, how odd. But, yeah, this movie, I think it was, everything about it was so iconic. Like, everyone was making, like, fun of a lot of the things in it, like the rose petals and...
It's got heaps of, like, memorable moments.
Yeah,
and really funny bits. Like, it's kind of sad.
They're always popping up as well, yeah.
But it's got, like, a lot of humour as well.
Yeah, it's a very dark movie.
Yeah, it's a dark comedy, I reckon.
Yeah, well, it is.
But well, maybe comedy, but you know what
I mean. Yeah, but, no, it's probably still like one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, and it's something that like you can watch really easily. Yeah. Like, heaps of times.
Like when it came out, I'd watched it so many times.
Yeah, I've seen it like 6 times.
I've probably seen it way more than that, but this would be like, you know, in the first few years it came out, I haven't seen it for quite a few years now, so maybe it's worth a rewatch.
Well, I have it, so you can borrow it.
Okay. I need to give you back some other things that you've had me borrow, but that's another story.
Let's not get into that.
Yeah, I got to say, like, there were, like, some smaller movies that came out. Like, this one I liked. Do you remember Anna and the King with Jodie Foster?
Oh, I do remember that, yeah.
I quite liked that. That was a bit of a smaller one.
And, well, I like Jodie Foster, so... Yeah. I can watch her in anything. And I don't mind the story and stuff. It was
a nice movie. It was just, you know. Another one I liked, which had Natalie Portman in it, was Anywhere But Here.
Do you know what?
The little one.
Anywhere But Here and Where the Heart Is. I think, I don't know if they came out in the same year, but those two movies are like the best midday mother movies I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. They're like,
they're just the best.
They're just like ones you sit in the middle of the day and just can watch.
Yeah.
Anywhere But Here had Susan Sarandon. Susan
Sarandon, who I love.
Yeah, me too. It was just like a cute little movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a few, like, because we're still like at the very early stages of, you know, these movies. I just could touch on quickly that Analyze This came out and everyone was going on about it, but I didn't think it was that funny.
I didn't like Analyze This. I did not laugh once during that movie.
It was a letdown for me.
I just was not into that.
And I'd say another pretty big movie was the Austin Powers sequel.
Yes, which I thought was better than the first one, which is something that a lot of people disagree with. But
I had a lot of fun with it. I did see that at the movies because I saw all three at the movies.
Yeah,
we saw the first one, it was really small, and then it, like, took off on video.
Yeah, it became massive. And then part two came out, which is the one that came out in 99, and it was massive.
Yeah, and that was a lot of fun.
That was. I think that one's my favourite more than the first one because of Fat Bastard.
Oh, he just grossed me out so much. Get in my belly!
Oh, too much.
Mini-Me and, there's so much to just enjoy with that movie.
Yeah.
Now, your favourite movie of 2009 was Baby Geniuses.
Oh, yeah, definitely Baby Geniuses.
And my favourite movie was Big Daddy.
Was it really?
Fuck, I hate that movie so much. Big Daddy, I hate it. Adam Sandler, seriously.
The problem with Big Daddy for me was that it was actually, you know, okay for most of it, and then we got to the ending, which became so freaking corny, and I was just like, this is awful.
I just can't stand that movie. I fucking hate it. Seriously, blech. Fuck off. And it's always on TV, and it pisses me off even more.
It's, you know what? Big Daddy and The Water Boy are on TV every month.
Oh, I know. It's annoying.
I don't know how many times I've seen The Water Boy in the past 4 years, but it's like 20 times.
Oh, it's annoying. Ugh. Moving right along, we can talk, well, probably... I don't know, but like kind of like in between big-ish and, you know, not really small movies, but they were popular when they were coming out, was like The Bone Collector,
That was popular. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, a big deal, but a lot of people have seen that, especially on video, that was really big as well.
Yeah, it was, it's not bad. It was actually not long ago on TV.
Yeah, it's still pretty cool. Like, it's a decent, cop show thing.
Yeah, like, it's decent.
Enjoyable.
And Angelina's good in it.
Yeah, she's
and
cool.
And Denzel's alright, and it's a Philip Noyce movie, and he's, you know, normally pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was one that I liked. And Bringing Out the Dead, I think, was a bit of a smaller movie.
Yeah.
Martin Scorsese and Nicolas Cage again, but this is more of a normal Nicolas Cage type thing. I mean, as normal as you can get when you're Nicolas Cage. But this is kind of more of an under-the-radar kind of movie.
Yeah, I think, did that even get released in cinemas here?
I think it was very limited, but I did see it on DVD.
Yeah, I don't know
if I've seen it since, but I actually really want to check it out again.
Yeah, I remember liking it, but I can't really remember that much about it.
And another movie which came out that year, and since then, they have released the sequel this year, which is The Boondock Saints. And this movie took off on video.
Yes, I haven't actually seen Boondock Saints.
Well, you should check it out and see what all the fuss is about. But I loved it when I saw it.
Yeah.
And it's been a while since I've seen it, but I have seen it a few times, and everyone I've shown it to really liked it.
Yeah.
It's just this cool... It's the only way to explain it. It's just a cool movie. It's just these really cool, like, main characters, and you just like them. And you like what they're doing, so, you know, yes. It's hard to explain, but it's like a cool crime-type movie.
Well, I think one of the biggest movies of that year, which I'll talk about just really briefly, was Blair Witch, which I don't know if you're a fan of that, because I know you're a bit iffy about hyped-up movies.
Well, the thing with Blair Witch, I actually saw this on my birthday that year.
Yeah.
A friend of mine who was visiting from Italy took me to see it for my birthday.
Yeah.
And everyone was talking about it. It was so hyped up. And I was enjoying, like, the start of the movie where they're trying to find out about the whole myth of the Blair Witch thing.
Yeah.
And then they go out there and, you know, hearing these noises, it's kind of scary. But that girl in it was so fucking annoying. Why didn't they just kidnap her to start with? The whole thing, like that iconic scene of her in the camera. Oh my god, that's so irritating. I wasn't scared until the end. The ending scene was so freaky.
The ending scene really freaked me out.
Yeah, bit was done so fucking well.
And when I still watch it now, that's the only part that genuinely, like, it actually, like, fully gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, it was funny, like, after we'd seen it and some other people had seen it, they were so scared by it, and I was like, wasn't that freaky? And then later on that night, I could hear the same kind of noises outside, and I'm like, yeah, typical. Blair Witch is going to come and get me. But, you know, for what they did with it and how they marketed it for such a cheap movie, it was a smart thing to do because it got asses in seats, and they did a really good job. And people for the longest time believed it was true. But,
yeah, they did.
You know, the internet wasn't what it is now.
No.
So, you know, a quick search and you can find out it's not true, but... Back then, you couldn't just go on Google
and
find out. So that was all really smart. But I do, like, I haven't seen it for quite a while, but I still do think it's a good movie. Well, it didn't scare me.
I've seen it a couple of times over the past 10 years, and it holds up pretty well. In fact, now that it's a bit older and now that all the hype is dead and now you can just, like, and you've seen it already, you can kind of enjoy it more.
Yeah. But, no, I think it's a well-done movie, and what they did was smart because it made a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, for me, it wasn't that scary. The hype about it being scary just didn't live up to it for me.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mm. Now, I think another pretty big movie, like, it's more big now than I think it was when it came out, because it kind of got the following afterwards, as being John Malkovich.
Yes. And
this movie, because we hadn't really seen anything like it before, I think that was one of the big appeals of the movie.
Yeah.
Because these people are actually going inside a real person, like John Malkovich is playing himself.
Yeah.
And it's very odd. And it's something that, you know, we've got John Cusack and Cameron Diaz looking in ways we hadn't really seen them before. So it's a really good movie.
I only ever saw, like, the first, I think it was 20 minutes or so. I was watching at a friend's house and it was just... It was weird. I was like, what the hell
is this? When I was watching it, it was so weird, but I really dug it because I like weird.
Yeah.
And I just thought, this is a really great movie, and I've seen it a few times since, and, you know, it's something I just enjoy, sit and enjoy.
Yeah, I want to check that out.
You should, definitely just sit back and re-watch it.
Yeah.
It's really good. Just, like, to do that.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, going back to, you know, like, I don't know if it was, like, a big, big movie, but it made a big impact with the awards that year, and that was Boys Don't Cry.
Yeah.
Now, I saw this on DVD.
Yeah, so did I.
And I cried.
Yeah.
I was deeply moved by this movie.
Yeah, this is the type of movie that I would sit alongside films like Monster...
Yeah.
And maybe Dancer in the Dark as well. Like, really, really good films, but ones that you can't watch a lot of because they're so depressing.
Yeah. It was so fucked up. And what really gets you is that it was true. It was a true story. And I think they were pretty faithful to the story from what I'd read.
They were, yeah.
Mm, it's very sad, and I think she was pretty deserving of her award.
Hilary Swank. It's just, I mean, it's a good movie in the sense that it's just made so well and the acting's so good, but you do not finish watching this movie feeling anything but just honestly so upset. Like, yeah. It's just awful.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to watch, especially just the way he's treated.
Yeah.
And it really gets to you, but she's so convincing as well.
She is, and the role took a lot out of her as well. I know she really, like, started to, what she, from what she's been saying, like, she really started to lose touch with, like, being a woman and stuff like that, because she had to play the character, like, so deeply and transform herself so much, and it really came across, like, it was full on.
Yeah, it was. And, yeah, I mean, it's nothing I want to watch again anytime soon, really.
No, but I would definitely, it's like a 5 out of 5 for me. Like,
yeah, I've given it as well. Yeah,
it's amazing, like, it's just the type of movie that, it really just really hits you hard.
Yeah, it really did, and it's just hard to talk about because
it's just so awful. Like,
yeah, it's basically we should go on to sing a bit more. I don't know if it's that more uplifting, but this was a massive film for me, and I did sneak into this one because I wasn't old enough at the time.
Yeah,
that was Cruel Intentions.
Cruel Intentions.
And I watched it again this year, and it's still so fucking cool.
You know, Cruel Intentions is one of maybe, like, 3 movies that completely represents the decade of our teenage years.
Yeah. And
the type of movie we can watch now, and just everyone that's the same age as us has seen it back then.
Still loves it.
It's awesome. I don't know anyone our age who doesn't love it and own it or something. It's just,
We used to watch this all the time. Like, yeah, it was same so here. Fucking cool.
I've seen it like 50 times.
Oh, I know. And it had, like, such a great soundtrack as well.
Yeah, great cast as well. And this,
you know, it was a really good, like, role for Sarah Michelle Gellar because it was so different. Like, she was the bitch.
Yeah.
And she's never the bitch.
Yeah. And I think she's very, really underrated as an actress. I think,
with the right role, she's awesome.
Yeah.
Don't put her in fucking Scooby-Doo. Put her in something like this. You know.
Yeah. And, no, cool movie. Really, really cool movie.
Yeah, and I mean, it gave us Selma Blair, who was, like, the clueless idiot in this movie. And she was just so annoying. And of course,
pretty funny, though.
It really took off with Reese Witherspoon.
Yes, and Ryan Phillippe.
Yeah, I mean, she'd done smaller roles. Well, not smaller roles, smaller movies, but this was a big one. Yeah, Ryan Phillippe kind of took off for a while, but then he's kind of died down a bit.
Yeah.
Their divorce probably didn't do him any favours either.
Yeah.
But, this is, like, the coolest, like, teen-esque movie from then. And that was, of course, based on Dangerous Liaisons.
It was. And you know what? Like, I watch Cruel Intentions, and then I watch stuff like Gossip Girl and stuff like that, and I can see where, I don't know, maybe I'm just imagining it, but I can see where they've taken a lot of that kind of rich,
there's a lot of inspiration.
Yeah, like from rich pores and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely been influential.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So that was a pretty cool movie.
Cool movie,
it was one of my favourites from that year for sure.
Definitely, definitely.
Now, I'm picking because I don't want to be here for like 10 hours. So obviously we're not mentioning every single movie, just ones that we either really, you know, bigger movies for that year and ones, you know, maybe that we didn't like so much. But one I have to mention, I can't not mention this movie, Deep Blue Sea. Now, I was so excited to see this movie. It was like this shark movie, and I went and saw it, and it was just terrible.
I have this thing with, like, shark movies and, like, underwater sea monster movies. I really enjoy them for some stupid reason. I still got some enjoyment out of Deep Blue Sea, but it is a shit movie.
It is a really shit movie, and I don't mind Rennie Harlan as a director.
Yeah.
But when I first saw this, I hated it. And I've hated it since, but I watched it again this year, and it wasn't that bad. Like, I enjoyed it for the shitness.
Yeah.
Like, so bad it's good. And, you know, Thomas Jane, I always enjoy him, so. And, you know, Samuel L. Jackson is Samuel L. Jackson in it. And it's so silly, but, you know, I did enjoy it watching it again. So
yeah.
There's one that I had to mention, and of course, 1999 brought us freaking Juice Bigelow, Male Gigolo. It was so fucking shit, that movie. I hate Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider,
he's a fuckhead.
He just makes the shit.
He does.
About the shittest thing.
Right, it's think, such a dumbass movie.
What?
Man.
I don't hate the guy, but I just think, what are you doing?
I want to slap him. Oh, what a wanker. Yeah. Anyway, a smaller movie that I actually really liked was Double Jeopardy. Did you see that one with
Ashley Judd and Tommy Lee Jones? I still watch Double Jeopardy. Yeah. I think it's awesome.
It's a good movie.
There was this Ashley Judd period that happened for a few years where it was like Double Jeopardy, Kiss the Girls, and all these other shit that she was in. She was like really cool for these like couple of years.
She worked for these movies. Yeah. But that was one of the really good ones. I still like that movie.
That was cool. Yeah, I saw it again for the first time in years, like earlier this year, and it was still really good.
Yeah, so did I. I think it was on TV or something. It was still pretty cool.
Yeah.
And 1999 brought us Dogma by Kevin Smith.
That is an awesome.
That is a wicked movie.
I love Kevin Smith. I think Dogma is... It could be his best movie. I still think Chasing Amy is his best movie, but I could see why someone would think Dogma is...
It's definitely one of my favourites of his.
It's cool, yeah.
And it's just... It's such a cool movie, and it's just fun to watch. Like, I can't really find any faults with it.
I can't either, and I think it's really cool because it's really funny, but at the same time, it addresses so much social commentary about religion.
Mm.
And it's just really funny.
It's done so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some other movies that came out that year. Let me see. We had, we're going to touch on End of Days.
End of Days. Yeah, that was pretty big.
That was a big movie and I didn't like it.
Yeah, I liked it back in the day. But I thought, revisiting it now,
I liked Gabriel Byrne as the devil, but that was about it. I just didn't think it was a very good movie.
Yeah.
It was a disappointment. Yes. And we touched on Reese Witherspoon before, and she came out with Election
was awesome.
It was a really fucking awesome movie.
It is so hilarious.
And she was so good in it as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's hard to explain. It's just like this mental fucking movie, and she's just mental fucking Reese Witherspoon in it.
Yeah, random characters, random situation, and just like...
It works, though. Everyone. It just worked so well.
Yeah.
And, you know, she definitely showed another side of her.
Yeah.
One of my favourite movies, and this is a smaller movie for 99, and that was The End of the Affair, and I'm not sure if you'd seen this one. It's a Neil Jordan movie, and it stars Julianne Moore. And I can't remember his name, Ralph Fiennes. And Stephen... Yes. Was his name wrong? Stephen
Ray?
Yeah. Oh, this movie, it floored me when I first saw it. It's such a beautiful movie.
Yeah, I vaguely remember it, but I do remember really liking it.
Yeah, I cried. I mean, I actually don't have it on DVD. I really need to get it because I want to watch it again.
Well, but Neil Jordan is one of my favourite directors.
He is fantastic. He really is.
He makes good stuff, so...
He really is. So good. I love that movie. 99, we had David Cronenberg. He's like one of my favourite directors. He came out with Existence, which is a bit of a hit and miss movie.
But yeah, I enjoyed Existence. I haven't seen it in a few years, but back when it came out, I saw it like 3 times. I really liked it
when it came out. But what I liked, it's just the whole, its take on virtual reality gaming and you know, it's very Cronenberg with the themes in it, but
it's
a smaller movie than, you know, not a lot of people really got into it until later, but it had Jude Law in, you know, he was starting to kind of starting to get out a little bit, and it had Jennifer Jason Leigh as well. Now next movie we're going to talk about, this is for me and you, it's one of our favourite movies.
Yes.
And that would be Eyes Wide Shut. The last film by Stanley Kubrick. Yeah.
People seem a bit split on it. I know people who really don't like it.
Yeah, this is...
I think it's really cool, but I loved it. I loved it the first time I saw it. I remember I saw it on video and I was just
sitting
there watching it thinking this is
awesome. I was pretty blown away by it. Now, I saw it when I was 15, I would think. Yeah. I remember going to the video store and my mum got it for me because it was R-rated. You know, when we went there, the guy that worked there knew me pretty well and he's just like, yeah, I know you're going to watch this. You can tell me what you thought about it when you bring it back. And I'm like, okay. I was obsessed with this. I loved it. I thought it was just a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think that I grew up pretty fast and I understood a lot of things when I was younger.
Yeah.
So I didn't think, for me, I personally didn't think I was too young to see it, but I probably wouldn't let my kids watch it till they were old enough, but that's just me.
It's not a very child-friendly movie.
No, but I remember afterwards I read the script a few times and it's just, there's just so much there. And
yeah, it starts off as, like, really simple, but it becomes, like, a pretty, like, haunting, dark sort of movie.
Yeah, it really is. And for me, it's like, you know, Tom Cruise puts in a really just, I think it's a very underrated performance from him.
It is, and he's a good actor. Like, I know, I'm not a big fan of his, like, bullshit lifestyle.
If you ignore his lifestyle and just look at his films, like, I think he's a great actor.
As an actor, though, yeah, he's great. And he was really good in this.
And just a lot of the things are just so weird. And when sort of things unravel a bit more and, you know, it really just, by the end, it does, like, take shape, if that makes sense. Like, you understand, like, a lot of things.
It becomes, like, the first, like, 20 minutes or something is, like, a movie. And then the next, like, 30 minutes is completely random. It just goes down these directions that you did not expect it to go down. Like, with the whole, like, middle section about the sex cult and stuff like that. And I was just watching it thinking, oh, this is so good, but it's completely not what I was expecting.
Yeah, like, that scene is so weird and creepy. And
oh, it's great.
It's just done so well.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, this is one of my favourite movies. So.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, brilliant. Cool. Now, when I think 1999, the next movie I'm going to mention pretty much just defines that year for me.
Yeah.
And I was so upset that I could not see this in cinemas because it was R-rated. And I pretty, like, when the DVD came out, I didn't even, like, I didn't even think I'd seen it. I just went and bought it. I spent $40 on this limited edition copy that I made them hold for me at the video store. And that would be Fight Club.
Fight Club, yeah.
Fight Club. Now, there's a lot of imitators, but this is the original.
It is the original.
This was just, like, the coolest movie.
I think this is, like, David Fincher at his, like, most badass, and Brad Pitt as, like, his most coolest. It was just, it's so good.
It's fucking awesome, and I can't even tell you how many times I've seen it. At least, I watched it, like, at least twice a year.
Yeah.
And I get so much out of it every time. And there was bits, like, I'd seen it quite a few times, and then I started to notice, at the start of the movie, you see these little flashes of Brad Pitt, and you have to actually, like, pause it to catch it, and you've got to be really quick. It helps when you watch it on the computer so you can pause it.
Yeah, no, I've noticed and stuff like that as well.
I realized that, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is so cool. Yeah. And just the more you watch it, the more it makes sense. Like, the ending makes so much sense. Not that I'll spoil it if anyone who, I don't know how, could not have seen this yet. But, oh, man, it's just such a wicked movie.
Yeah, cool movie.
And, yeah, Edward Norton was, like, my favourite actor at the time. So, of course, it killed me. I couldn't see it at the cinema.
Well, he was big at the time. He had, like, American History X and stuff like that.
And
so,
he's pretty awesome in it. And he's not really a typical choice for the role either, but he made it work so well.
Yeah, he did. He was good.
Helena Bonham Carter was just the shit in this movie, man. And fucking Meatloaf. Oh, my God. And
I know she
tits.
Always plays the weirdos in everything she does, but she's so good at it. I love her.
Yeah. And, Meatloaf and the boobs. And fucking Jared Leto getting the shit beat out of him with his bleach blonde eyebrows. Oh. Oh, man, like, such a great movie.
Yeah.
Now, we can move on. And now we've talked about this movie quite a bit because it's your favourite movie, but your favourite movie came out this year.
It did, Girl Interrupted.
Another Angelina movie.
Yes, I'll talk about it just briefly, but
this movie rules.
Sorry?
I said, this movie rules!
Yeah. A movie I unfortunately didn't get to see at the cinemas and didn't even have an interest in seeing. I saw it by accident on video with a friend when we skipped school one day.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was it. I was, like, mesmerized for 2 hours, and my obsession with Angelina Jolie began, and it's still to this day my favorite movie ever.
I saw it on video as well, and I thought it was pretty awesome. And yeah. She won an Oscar.
She did.
And she looked quite good with that blonde hair, I thought, anyway.
She did, yeah. Mm. It's just so funny. Like, it's awesome. I love it.
Mm. I wouldn't want to see it again, but very cool movie.
I have it, so I completely borrow it.
Yeah, okay. a really good comedy that I like because it kind of parallels Star Trek, which was Galaxy Quest, which was quite a big movie for like comedies and stuff.
Yeah, know? It was pretty popular.
And that was good stuff. I mean, it had I don't really like Tim Allen all that much, but he was good in it. And it had Sigourney Weaver, who's awesome.
I think Sigourney Weaver playing a bimbo was kind of the big draw for the movie.
She made it work.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise who it was at the time, but Sam Rockwell is in this movie.
Oh, is he?
Yes. He plays, in their show Galaxy Quest, he was, one of the extras or something, and he goes to all the conventions and stuff like he's someone special. Oh, man, it's fucking... Oh, he's funny in it. Another movie that I was not the greatest fan of, but it was quite a big movie, was The Green Mile, which was the Tom Hanks prison film based on the book by Stephen King.
Yeah, it was alright. I only ever saw it once, and it didn't really leave any sort of lasting impression on me.
Yeah, I mean, everyone loved it, but I just was like, yeah, it's alright.
I don't know.
Everyone loved Michael Clarke Duncan in it. Didn't do it for me, unfortunately.
Yeah, everyone was telling me how sad it was, and I watched it and I was like, oh, whatever.
Mm.
But, yeah, enjoyable, I guess.
Yeah. And we also had some horror movies come out, and one I remember was House on Haunted Hill. I saw that on DVD.
Yeah,
I saw it. That was okay. I didn't think it was anything special.
It's enjoyable in, like, a simple kind of straight-to-DVD style type.
Yeah,
of
I mean, the reason I wanted to kind of check it out was it had, like, Ali Larter in it.
Yeah, and Jeffrey Rush. And
Jeffrey Rush Angie. And Bridget Wilson. And
yeah, it's a pretty decent cast.
You know, it's got this cool cast, but I just thought, it was okay. It wasn't that good.
Yeah. It's enjoyable, like, if you've got nothing else to watch.
It's a decent, like... Yeah, I just can't be fucked watching anything else kind of movie.
Yeah. Movie that came out that year that was about haunted houses was The Haunting.
The Haunting. What's with the
And that was a remake.
Yeah, but they that both was, were.
That
they?
Was pretty popular. I remember at the box office, it did really
well. I think they were both kind of based on the Haunting of Hill House. I think that's the right thing that it was called.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I think, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Well, back when I saw that, I really loved it. I thought it was amazing. And now when I watch it, I can still enjoy it, but it's like a cartoon horror movie. It's really
weird. On the same kind of level as the other one. Just, it's enjoyable for what it is.
For being kind of crappy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this one I wanted to see because I liked Catherine Zeta-Jones and Owen Wilson. I don't know. I just thought, they both weren't that great.
No.
They're both, haunted house movies. Maybe they're not based on the same thing, but...
Right.
I'm thinking, what The Haunting was based on, but The House on the Haunted Hill was a remake of The House on the Haunted Hill.
Yeah, I think the other movie you mentioned was actually The Haunting.
I don't know.
Haunting of Hill House, whatever it was
called. Yeah, maybe I'm just making up shit. I don't know.
Maybe we should move on.
Yes. A movie that I really dug... for, a drama that definitely made me cry was The Hurricane. And this got a lot of attention with Denzel and his performance.
Yeah.
Being this is a biopic, true story.
Yeah.
It's such a sad, story.
It was sad, yeah.
And, I thought the film was pretty good. I ended up watching it quite a few times because I really enjoyed it. But
yeah.
It was definitely, one that I liked from that year.
Yes.
Unfortunately, 99 brought us the shitty Inspector Gadget movie.
Yeah, I never actually saw that in full, but I can't say that I wanted to.
And I hated it. Some other, like, horror movies, which were kind of, like, smaller ones, was, like, Idle Hands that had Devin Sawyer, whatever his name is.
Yeah, that was okay. Like, I haven't
Seth Green, I think, was in it.
Yeah. Jessica Alba was in it?
Yeah, Jessica Alba. I mean, it was okay. Hair. Yeah, it was all right. It wasn't that great, I don't think. Right. We also had, I can't think of the name. I'll get my list up. So there's one, it had Robert Downey Jr. in it and Annette Bening. In Dreams, I think it was called.
In Dreams.
I didn't think it was the greatest movie.
No, it was like this small actually,
kind of horror movie.
I can't even remember. I've seen it, I just can't,
yeah.
can't remember.
There's another movie that I really liked that came out that year, and this one got a lot of Oscar buzz.
Yeah.
I don't know if you actually saw it. It was directed by Michael Mann. It was The Insider.
No, I haven't seen it.
True story about the tobacco industry with there was like a thing on 60 Minutes about it, and
yeah.
It goes through like I think it was adapted from something that was written about the actual incident.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it for quite a long time, but I thought it was a really good movie. And Russell Crowe, I think this is something that really just made him stick out. And, you know, of course, the following year he did Gladiator and he won the Oscar. He was nominated for this movie. But
is this the movie that he got really fat for?
Yeah, he did put on weight and he had, like, grey hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Al Pacino was the other one in it.
Yeah.
And had, like, Christopher Plummer as well.
Yeah.
But it was a really strong movie, and, you know, it got, you know, I think it's still got a very good percentage at Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this got a lot of, like, you know, great reviews, and it's one of those kind of smaller movies that really, you know, that was got a lot of, you know, awards buzz and everything like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's definitely one I'd highly recommend, and it's definitely one of Michael Mann's better films. Mm-hmm. So, one movie I remember from 99 was another teen movie, but I don't think it really took off. That was Jawbreaker. Do you remember that?
Rose McGowan. I do. I own Jawbreaker, and I do like Jawbreaker, but it does have some kind of shittiness to it.
Yeah.
It's... Yeah.
I just have to mention it because it's like one of those teen movies that we used to watch.
Yeah, if it's on TV, I always get excited and watch it, but it's not really that great.
Yeah. We can touch on another movie that had Tom Cruise in it, and this one he was Oscar-nominated for, and that is Magnolia.
Magnolia.
Epic three-hour movie.
Yeah, which, you know, it's one of those movies that's really long, but when you sit and watch it, it's so good, you don't even notice.
Notice it was 3 hours.
Neither did I.
And I was just so engaged in this movie.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it's just fantastic. Everyone's fantastic. It's got a pretty big cast. Like, it's got Julianne Moore in it, and it's got Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many people. I can't even remember half the people in it. But Tom Cruise is definitely a standout, because this was just, like, so not a Tom Cruise role.
It wasn't at all.
And he was so different in it. Yeah, and he was, whoa, that's Tom Cruise? Unreal. I can't believe the stuff he's saying.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, such a great movie. It's awesome, definitely one I want to watch again.
Yes. Well, for you, 1999 was the year of Fight Club. For me, as much as I love Fight Club, I would have to say that the movie that pretty much made my eyeballs burst that year was The Matrix.
Me too. This would be the other big 1999 movie.
It is one of my most memorable cinema experiences that I ever had.
Yeah.
I literally had my mouth on the floor in the first, like, 5 minutes of this movie, and I was just completely blown away. Yeah.
Like, when this came out, like, it was, I only just saw, like, some ads on TV. Like, there wasn't much hype around it.
Yeah, but like, I didn't think,
word of mouth really got out about it. Yeah. Like, we just thought, oh, this looks like an interesting, like, sci-fi movie. Yeah. Yeah. We can go see this, you know. Star Wars doesn't come out for another few months. Let's go see this to get our sci-fi fix, yeah, kind of thing.
Yeah. But, yeah, I didn't realise it was, like, breaking ground with special effects and bullet time. Yeah. I was just like, so when I saw that first time, I was just like, what?
Yeah, the opening scene, and we're like, what the fuck is this? This is the best thing I've ever seen.
It's one of the coolest things ever. I think out of all the Matrix movies, that one scene with Trinity is like the one I've seen the most.
Yeah. We saw this quite, like, I think at least twice at the cinemas.
Yeah, I saw it twice.
And
yeah,
it was just like so mind blowing. Like, it's no other experience like it. It was just like,
it's crazy. Whoa. I mean, it's so bad.
And like, Keanu Reeves is actually good in it.
He is good. He suited the role really well.
Yeah. And like, everyone in it's just awesome. And everything worked so well.
Yeah.
I mean, I have seen it so many times that I don't think I can watch it anymore. Like, yeah, when we got it on video and then on DVD, my dad used to watch it, like, every day, turning up the volume, and then he just fast forward to, like, his favourite scenes. And after that, you know, you kind of do get sick of it, as great as it is.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we were let down by the sequels, which were really unnecessary.
I enjoyed the second sequel, but I thought the third one was enjoyable, but a bit shit. So.
And I just kind of liked Monica Bellucci in her small role, but that's about it.
Yeah.
But The Matrix is one of the defining movies of that year, but of the last 10 years, because everyone wanted to be The Matrix.
Yes, always and everyone copied, parodied that thing for like the past 10 years. It's just popped up everywhere.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it was the movie.
Yeah.
And it was so, it ended up being so big and just so iconic.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you think of 99, The Matrix is what you think of, really.
Yeah.
I mean, like other movies we've mentioned, but this one probably is the one that pops up first.
Yeah, I mean, this was the movie that when people saw it, they literally got out of the cinema, picked up their phone right away, and were just ringing someone to say, I just fucking saw something awesome.
Yeah. And it really took off.
Yeah.
It was huge.
It was massive.
And this just pretty much, like, it just blew everyone away.
It did, yeah.
And I don't think, like, at the time I had spoken to anyone who didn't like this movie. Everyone was fucking jerking off to this movie.
Yeah, I've never seen anyone who doesn't like it.
Yeah. I don't think I know anyone that I really hate Matrix, because everyone's got some kind of, like for it.
Yeah, there's always something.
You know, everything about it was just so cool, like, Mr. Anderson, everyone was saying that shit.
Well, it was like, yeah, it was like the first time we'd seen, like, the whole movie was inspired by Japanese animation, and I think to see that put into, like, a real life setting, like, with real actors, we'd never seen anything like that
before.
Yeah,
it was so cool, and, like, you know, a lot of the things are just so iconic, like, do you want the blue pill or the red pill?
Red pill, yeah.
And, like, Advil looks like the blue pill.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the blue pill. But, yeah, no, it's just the movie, I'd say, for that year.
Yeah.
Easily. We can move on to another blockbuster for that year, which was fun, and I still enjoy watching this now, and that's The Mummy.
The Mummy is awesome.
Another movie I saw twice in the cinema because it was just so much fun. It was just,
I saw it twice as well. I thought it was really funny. I thought it was really entertaining. Mm. I thought the cast were really good.
I loved the cast. Like, Brendan Fraser was good in it, and Rachel Wise was amazing. She's so beautiful. She's so funny.
Yeah, they had this good
chemistry, and it was just great. Like, everything about it was so cool, and like the mummy itself. Like, the effects at that time were really cool.
Yeah,
and, like, he was, like, when he starts, getting the human form, he just looks so evil.
Yeah, he looks creepy.
And he still, like, freaks me out every time I see Arnold Vosloff in something. But he's always a bad guy. He's never a good guy.
Every time I see him in something, I always think, oh, that mummy guy.
The mummy guy, yeah. He's always going to be the mummy guy.
Yeah, cool movie. But, really fun. It doesn't try to be complex or deep.
Yeah, it just wants to be a fun summer blockbuster, and that's what it was. It was just so good.
Yeah,
it's a really lot of fun. Good. Now, this other movie that we kind of really loved watching in high school, because, you know, it was a silly high school movie, and I have to talk about it quickly.
Yeah.
And I was Never Being Kissed with Drew Barrymore and David Arquette.
I have no issue telling people how much I love this movie.
This movie, I think, it took, like, those kind of, I don't know, like MTV awards or something. This one was, like, sweeping those awards. Like, Drew Barrymore won all these, like, really silly awards. I remember seeing her on TV and accepting these dumbass popcorn awards for this movie. But I just, it was, like, such a guilty pleasure. And there's another one. It's got Jessica Alba in it, I'm sure. There's an early movie from her as well.
It was, yeah. But, I mean, it's your typical straightforward romantic comedy Drew Barrymore movie. Like, who doesn't like Drew Barrymore?
Yeah, but it was just so sweet and silly and just so not realistic at all. Like, as if she looked old enough. Like, she looked way too old to be in high school.
Well, she looked old and her brother...
David was even older.
Even older.
And it's just like, yeah, it's a bit silly.
But that's okay.
And, you know, the cute teacher and, you know, it's just like, oh, she's going to finally find true love kind of thing.
Of course. You just, you love it. You can't.
Yeah.
I love it.
And one movie, I'm sorry to anyone who likes this movie, but I just found this movie irritating. It was Notting Hill, and this was like a big Julia Roberts movie that year.
Yeah, I've never seen Notting Hill in full, and I can't say that I care that much.
I'm just like, nah, I'm sorry. Not for me. Another movie which I think it's a smaller movie, but a lot of people found it on video and stuff, was Office Space.
Office Space, yeah, big cult movie.
I haven't seen it for, I don't think I've seen it since it came out, and I really struggle to remember. I need to watch it again.
Well, I have it on DVD.
So well, I can borrow it off my boyfriend because he has it.
Okay.
I've been meaning to like rewatch it again and I just haven't done it, but I think it's a movie that leads at least needs mentioning because it kind of like really took off as a cult movie.
Yeah, it did. I've only ever seen it once. I saw it for the first time like 3 years ago, I think, and it was cool. I liked it.
1999 brought us the Pokemon the first movie, so fuck you for that.
I did not see that.
Another, like, I think it was a kind of like a big cult movie, which is a foreign movie at that, which made a really big impact and a lot of imitators, was Run Lola Run.
Run Lola Run and is a very cool
movie. This movie was fucking cool as shit.
Yeah.
And I know that this was a 98 movie in Germany, but in the US and Australia, it came out mid to late 99, so we're including it at the 99 movie.
Yeah, and by the time we got it, there had been so much buzz from it from Germany because it had been, like getting rave reviews everywhere that when it came out, it was like you'd heard about it. Like, for a foreign movie, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'd actually heard about Run Lola Run.
But it was just so fucking cool, and the hype around it actually didn't spoil this movie at all. I just had a lot of fun watching it.
Yeah. It was a really great movie. I had no idea what it was about when I saw it.
Yeah, I just was like, well, this chick's running, all right.
Yeah.
Check it out.
It's cool, and it had a really good soundtrack as well.
Yeah, the soundtrack was awesome. Everyone was listening to it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's such a great movie. And definitely, if people haven't seen it, go watch it. What's wrong with you?
Very original.
Yeah. I got to briefly touch on this movie because there's another, like, big teen movie that was She's All That, and that kind of introduced everyone to Paul Walker, I think.
Yes.
And Freddie Prinze Jr., who's terrible.
And that Rachel Leah Cook chick as well, is that her name?
Yeah, who didn't really amount to anything, I don't think.
No, she didn't really do anything else, but it did feature Anna Paquin in a random role.
Sister role, yeah.
5 minutes, which she was cool.
She was cool.
Cheers All That was, you know, typical cheesy, shitty teenage
movie. But we ended up just watching it all the time for some bloody reason. It's just
oddly entertaining.
Yeah, it's weird. But it's something I have to mention because, you know,
it was
big. It's a teen movie.
Yeah,
it was one of the biggest hits of 99, and I think it's a movie we both really like. And this movie kind of brought in the whole let's do a big twist ending thing.
Ah, yes.
The Sixth Sense.
Yes, The Sixth Sense.
The debut film from M. Night Shyamalan.
Yes.
And a fantastic role for Bruce Willis. And it gave us that that line that everybody was saying for the longest time, I see dead people.
It did.
Now, I saw this at the cinema.
So did I.
And I knew there was some kind of weird twist ending. I did not know what it was.
Yeah.
I managed to avoid the spoilers.
Yeah.
Because Bruce Willis actually admitted what it was on TV, on David Letterman, I believe. And I just thought this was such a fantastic movie.
Yeah, it was so, really cool.
So well acted, and just everything about it was amazing. And they make it really hard to pick up on what the twist is, but when you watch it again, the clues are right in front of your face.
Yeah, how obvious is it? It's so funny.
But the thing is, like, when I was watching it, I think maybe about 10 minutes before the reveal, I guessed what it was.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if I was actually going to be right, but it is what I was guessing. So I thought, hey, I did well.
Yeah, I didn't guess it at all. I was completely shocked by the big twist at the end.
But it works. Like, it makes sense when you watch it again. Like, some movies have a twist ending that just makes no sense when you watch the movie again.
Yeah.
But he knew what he wanted to do, and he did it in such a smart way.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, Haley Joel Osment was the kid of the moment. Like, his performance is really amazing, but he hasn't really done much since, and... Except get arrested or something.
But that's okay. He has the sixth sense.
Yeah, he has the sixth sense. But, I think it was definitely one of the biggest money makers, as we talked about before we started recording, of 99 as well. But everyone saw this movie. Everyone was talking about this movie.
Yeah.
Great fucking movie. Another big film for 99, and which I think was... In the end, a very big letdown for a lot of people. And I know you're not a fan of these movies. I don't think you watch them, but I'll have to talk about it anyway. And that'd be the Star Wars Episode 1. Now, this was the prequel that people were waiting for. And when I saw it, like, we pre-bought our tickets a month in advance, blah, 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 because I'm a Star Wars fucking nerd. And now, when I saw it, I loved it. I watched it again. Yeah. I still liked it. But then I watched it again and I just realized everything's so wrong with it. Things that don't make sense, the bad dialogue, the stupid, shitty characters. I don't even think I could bring myself to watch it. Because I have this image in my head of how terrible it is. And it's just so renowned that it's just, you know, I don't think... It wasn't the moneymaker they wanted it to be. And so many people were just so let down. At least, like, the next two were improvements, but this was just a mess.
Well, I was never a big Star Wars fan, so when I saw this, I didn't care, like, if it was going to be good or not. But,
yeah, I mean, we had, like, there was good things, like Ewan McGregor and, you know, Natalie Portman and stuff. But, just overall, like, I mean, the effects and everything, they looked awesome and... You know, the fighting scenes were really well choreographed and all that kind of stuff. It was really cool and there was so much anticipation, but it was just such a letdown.
Yeah, see, I mean, as a non-fan, I enjoyed Attack of the Clones and Return of the Sith much more than this one.
Yeah, so. They're definitely, like, way better.
I don't know, it's just kind of boring to me.
Yeah, it does get a bit boring. Can we move on? Like, it's one of my favourite movies ever, but it's... Definitely one of my favourite movies of that year, and it's one I did see at the cinema, and that was Stigmata.
Yeah, Stigmata. I remember when I first saw that, and it was literally like my eyeballs were melting.
Your eyeballs were melting.
Yeah, I thought it looked so cool. Like, I loved how it looked visually. I loved the editing.
Everything about it looked amazing. It had this wicked soundtrack, but I really liked the story that it told as well.
Like, yeah, I like the relationship between Patricia Arquette and the priest in it.
Gabriel Byrne again. Like, he played the devil in End of Days in the same year as a priest. Right here. But, this wasn't, like, a big hit or anything, but when I saw it at cinema, it was pretty full. But
yeah, no, it was, I mean, it was popular in the sense that it was, like, it did okay, but... Yeah. There's nothing kind of, you know, it's a pretty straightforward movie, and a lot of people, some people say that it's a bit more style over substance, but...
I thought, like, it did have substance, like, there was definitely something to say there, and the things they say about the church and everything.
Yeah.
Like, it's controversial, and this was banned, I think, in Italy because of the Vatican being there and everything like that.
Yeah.
Just how much, and like some of the things that they actually brought up in the movie was stuff I found really interesting, like just about the crucifixion and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just like historically what they said about, because you know how traditionally they say that, you know, and everything that you see and read, it says that like Jesus was nailed through his hands.
Yeah.
And in this movie they're saying, well, he couldn't have been because it wouldn't have been able to support his weight, so he was likely nailed to his wrists, and they made her get the stigmata through her wrists where he would have had it.
Yeah.
So then that kind of makes you wonder, like, if that wasn't the case and he really got nailed there, then why are people that get stigmata get it through their hands?
Yeah.
Are they doing it to themselves?
Well, I think that was the
cool... this whole, you know...
We'd never really seen a possession movie that dealt with, like, actual stigmata. It was more just about being possessed.
But if if you kind of have, like, I sort of knew about stigmata and people bleeding from their hands and feet and all that kind of stuff. And this movie was kind of like, you know, he wouldn't have been nailed through there. And it's kind of like, oh, that raises a really good point.
Yeah.
I mean... because me and religion have a very interesting relationship, and you know, being raised Catholic and now I'm not actually religious.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of love hate going on there, and you know, I love like movies like this, like possession type movies, things that bring up strong religious themes that actually have something to say.
Yeah.
You know, I really find that interesting, and I thought this really had some interesting elements to it.
Yeah, I agree. I was really into it when I first saw it. I was like fully mesmerized by it.
Yeah, it's another one I really want to watch again.
Yeah.
I do believe it is in Dan's DVD collection, so I'll have to read that. So let's see, we're getting down to just a few more movies that we can talk about. I mentioned it, like, before we started recording, The Talented Mr. Ripley, and this is kind of a big movie for, like, Matt Damon, because this was done after Good Will Hunting, and there was all the Oscar buzz with that, and this kind of, I think, showed his, you know, he could still act.
Yeah.
And, you know, had Jude Law in the supporting role in, like, Gwyneth Paltrow and...
It was a pretty big movie. I remember when it came out, there was... a lot of people were going to see it.
It's quite... it's a good, like, psychological movie, and I really enjoyed it. And
yeah, I liked it.
You know, it's something that I think people should see, because it is a really good movie.
Yeah, it's... I don't remember that much about it, because I only ever saw it once, but I do remember liking it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it for a while, but it's something I always recommend, because I think it's a really great movie. And, you know, Jude Law and Matt Damon are really great in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's worth seeing for them. I think another kind of... this is more like a cult movie, I would say. Well, not a cult movie, but more of a under-the-radar, but it was very popular kind of movie, was Three Kings with George Clooney and... Mark Wahlberg. I was trying to think of his name. And
Ice Cube.
Ice Cube. My name's Ice Cube, man. This was a cool movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting. It was made, you know, about, like the, you know, during the Iraq War of 91, and then a few years later, there's another Iraq War.
Yeah.
But, this one, they're like searching for the gold. And, you know, this kind of had like all these things to say about the war and, you know, all sorts of things like that, and everyone just like really loved this movie. I don't really know anyone that didn't like this movie.
Yeah, I remember at the time, I didn't see it when it first came out. I saw it like years later, but I remember everyone was watching it, and I'm like, what is with this movie? Like, it's everywhere, especially on video.
Yeah, it really took off like on video. That's why I went straight to say cult, but it's not so much cult, I'd say.
No, it's not cult, but it did. Just kind of, it had, I don't know how it did at the box office, it probably did well, but I just remember on video it was...
it was really more like a video kind of thing.
Yeah. I remember it on video.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's a really good movie. It's hard to talk about because I haven't seen it for so long.
Yeah, I haven't seen
it. You know, it's something ages. I should rewatch it, but.
But I remember it being decent.
Yeah, it's worth a mention for sure. Yeah. I got to mention this. Universal Soldier: The Return came out in 99, and up until JVCD, this was no JCVD. No,
yeah.
His initials right. Up until then, this was the last theatrical release movie for Van Damme. So that's why I'm mentioning it.
Okay.
Yes.
And did you enjoy it?
I honestly don't remember what I thought of it, so I need to watch it again. But I love Universal Soldier, the first one. And I'm looking forward to Universal Soldier, the next one, which will be out next year. Which will have Van Damme in it.
Okay. Yes.
We have to talk about this movie, because when I saw this movie floored me. And I was obsessed with this movie, and I read the book several times as well.
And
that would be The Virgin Suicides.
Virgin Suicides, cool movie.
This is a really... It was a weird movie. It was.
It is weird. It's very indie.
It was, and this was, I think, the... was it the debut from Sofia Coppola?
Yes, it was.
And this one had...
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst and...
Ashton Kutcher.
Does it have Ashton Kutcher in it?
Yeah. Josh Hartnett, sorry.
No, Josh Hartnett. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Who was the boyfriend? James Woods was the dad.
Yeah.
I can't think of who else was in it, but who was the mum? I can't remember the mum. But this was just this weird movie about this group of sisters and they kill themselves at the end and you don't know why.
Yeah.
And it's hard to work out why. And I thought, well, if I read the book, maybe that might explain something, but the book...
Was it based on a true story?
No, it was based on a book. But you read the book. Now, while there's more to it, you still don't really know why. Okay. But it's such, like, this... It's just still, like, a beautiful book to read. And I read it a few times. And the film's kind of the same. It's just really beautiful.
Yeah, it's nicely
movie,
done.
And it is really well...
Even the, I remember the movie poster was really nice as well.
There's, like, Kirsten Dunst on the cover.
Yeah.
On the front, yeah. But I just, it was, from like, it was just this really just beautiful movie, while sad and weird.
Yeah, but, I remember it being weird.
You know, I think she's very talented, Sophia.
Yeah, I've enjoyed all her movies. I even, like, I know when Maria Antoinette came out, it got, like, mixed reaction, but I really liked it.
But, it was definitely one of the highlights for me.
Yeah.
Just because of what it was, basically.
Yeah.
Neil, I think there's probably not really much else out there. There was a lot of, like, crappy movies, like Wild Wild West.
That was crap.
And, like, yeah, that was pretty shit. Another teen movie we had was Varsity Blues with James Van Der Beek and Ali Larder. That was one that I liked.
I haven't seen it since it came out, but I do remember liking it.
That was the one where Ali Larder wears the cream on her boobs.
Yeah.
Everybody remembers that.
And I do remember Paul Walker having sex in a laundry. And you see his ass, that's all. That's pretty much the only thing I remember.
Yeah, but I think, they're like, you know, the movies that stuck out for me, some being shitty ones. I didn't mention South Park movie came out that year as well.
Yeah.
And that was, everyone went and saw that. I saw it later.
That was popular.
I thought it was all right. It wasn't the greatest. I prefer the series, but, you know, it was still fun to see South Park.
On the big screen,
as a movie kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just thinking, was there much we missed? Probably nothing. Sure, if there's something major we missed, we'll get told about it. But
you know what movie I remember was really popular on video? Blast from the Past with Alicia Silverstone and Brendan Fraser.
That was okay.
Everyone was watching that.
Yeah, and it's always on TV now as well.
And another movie I liked, which didn't really get good reviews and which kind of disappeared really quickly, was Forces of Nature with
Sandra Bullock.
Did you hate that?
I fucking
everyone
hated
this movie.
It was so shit. Kill me now, please. I did not like. I thought it was crap.
Well, what did you think of 200 Cigarettes?
200 cigarettes. I don't even remember 200 cigarettes.
I love
it. I did see it, like, when it first came out, but I honestly don't remember it. And that was, like, had everyone in it.
Yeah,
like, that was Courtney Love and, yeah. You know, all that kind of thing. Yeah. I don't really remember that well, so I can't say did I like it, did I not like it? I have no idea.
You know what was another cool movie?
What was another
And it was movie? Dubbed as kind of the pulp fiction for a younger audience.
What was that?
Go.
Was Go from that year? Because it wasn't on my list. I think it was a year after.
There's a list under that called Wide Release Movies, and it came out apparently on April the 9th.
Oh, okay.
So, I thought it was like a 2000 movie. And that was pretty cool.
That was an awesome movie. I love that movie. That movie had Timothy Olyphant. Oh my god, I love him. He could make love to me right now.
Oh my.
Yes. I just thought I'd bring that up. yes.
What about, you didn't like Drop Dead Gorgeous, did you? That came out.
No. Oh, a big movie for 1999 was that Toy Story 2 for the kiddies.
Yes, that was pretty good movie.
Like, if we look at, because there's, like, the list here of the top grossing films, and this is worldwide order. Yeah. We've got Star Wars Episode 1, which I, for some reason, was thinking it wasn't the number one, but it was. Actually, it was a big money maker. What am I saying? It wasn't a big money maker.
Yeah, no, it made nearly
a good it was, job. But I think it was the reviews that were... Not
yeah,
best.
No, it
Is
got
that
mixed.
Right?
I think
that's what,
like...
I'm getting confused at. Rather than making money, was just the reaction critically. number two was The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Number three was Toy Story 2. Number four was The Matrix. Number five was Tarzan.
And
right. Number six was The Mummy.
Yeah.
Number seven was Notting Hill. Obviously, all the ladies went and saw
ladies,
that one.
Yeah.
The World Is Not Enough, James Bond.
Yeah.
Number eight, number nine, American Beauty, and number 10, Austin Powers.
Yes.
And we can quickly go over what we had for the Academy Awards. Was the best picture was American Beauty. Best director was Sam Mendes from American Beauty.
Yeah.
Best actor was Kevin Spacey from American Beauty. Best actress was Hilary Swank, Boys Don't Cry. We had Best Supporting Actor Michael Caine in The Cider House Rules, which we didn't actually bring up.
Yes, which I have seen.
I have seen as well, and I thought it was a good movie. That was one that gave us Tobey Maguire and Charlize Theron as well.
They had sex in the grass in that movie.
Mm. So we're seeing for Sex in the Grass. of course, as we mentioned, Best Supporting Actress was Angelina Jolie.
Of course.
Mm. And... The Golden Globes were a bit different because we had Best Actor was Denzel for The Hurricane.
Okay.
And Best Actor for Musical or Comedy was Jim Carrey on Man on the Moon, which we did bring up, but I kind of forgot that was from that year as well.
Yeah, I can't remember liking Man on the Moon, but I know that Courtney Love was in it, which was a bit random.
That was the Andy Kaufman biopic. By Milos Forman.
Yeah.
I don't really remember the movie that well.
I remember watching it, and the guy that Jim Carrey was playing, I thought was just a bit of a dumbass. Like, I was just watching him, these guys are fuckhead, like, I don't care.
Yeah. He was a very weird dude.
Yeah.
Like, I remember him on Taxi, because I used to watch Taxi with Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
In my younger years, yeah. But, So, yeah, 1999 was pretty
a big
movie
year.
It was a big year for movies. And, you know, there's still quite a lot we didn't really talk about, but, you know, obviously we can't be fucked and there's only so much time in the day.
Yeah.
Or night, as it is. But, I mean, it was a very, for me, it was a big year for movies and I enjoyed most of them. Apart from some of the ones that we have dissed on this podcast.
Yes. Yeah, there were some cool ones. I never noticed how many movies came out in 1999.
Like, now that we've gone over it.
That have become such massive movies since then. But,
I mean, now that we've gone over it, there's a lot. Like, you know, Yeah, but now I feel dumb. A lot that I want to
see again as well.
Yeah, I feel dumb that I'm thinking, how come Star Wars didn't make money? Of course it made money. I'm thinking, like,
the reaction
wasn't that good. Not that it didn't make money, because not only did the movie make so much money, there's so much merchandise as well.
Yeah.
I think maybe, was it the other movies didn't do as well? I don't know. I'm not going to begin to guess now. So.
No.
I've made an ass of myself, so there we go.
At least you made an ass of yourself with a
kid. I quickly looked it up, and the year that Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, came out was when Lord of the Rings, Two Towers came out, and that made a lot of money. Episode II was number 4 on the overall worldwide box office.
There we go. What was number 1 that year, do you know?
Lord of the Rings, Two Towers.
Awesome.
And then Harry Potter, The Chamber of Secrets.
Yes.
So, yeah, a lot of sequels there. Because we also had Men in Black 2 on that list and Die Another Day.
Okay.
And they're all sequels. So, yes. That would be for another time to discuss that. But that's probably about a wrap for our look back at 1999. I was going to say
2009.
No, that's for another show.
No, that's a bit 10 years later.
Yeah, well, we'll have to, I don't know who will actually ever join me if I ever do it. I'll do top 5 of 2009. So whoever would like to join that podcast can let me know.
I will join that podcast.
Alrighty, so we've got you down.
No worries.
Whoever else wants to join can certainly do so.
Awesome.
Hopefully we haven't been too irritating to listen to. We're always entertaining.
Until next time.
Yes, we are. Until next time. You are Stephen and I'm Supermaster.
I am. You are.
Yes, I've got my super costume on. I look the milk in. And I have to go out and save the world.
Yes.
Or something. Or maybe I'll just go take my clothes off or whatever. I don't know.
That sounds sounds like a plan.
Yes. I'm sure that people would enjoy me taking my clothes off, or at least I hope that people would enjoy that. I don't know.
I'm sure they would.
Well, now it's probably time to, maybe do that and watch another movie. What sort of movie? I don't know.
Maybe we should wrap it up.
Yes, now. It's a wrap, folks.
Off track. We'll continue this off recording.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, right, well,
see you, everyone.
See you, peeps, and thanks for listening. Ciao.
Had a dream, Neo, that you were so sure was real. What if you were unable to wake from that dream? How would you know the difference between the dream world and the real world?
What is happening to me?
The answer is out there, Neo. It's the question that drives us.
What is the Matrix?
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. What truth?
They're watching you, Neo.
Human beings are a disease. You are a cancer of this planet. And we are the cure.
Get me the hell out of here!
The real world.
So you're here to save the world.
So what do you need? Guns. Lots of guns.
No one has ever done anything like this.
That's why it's going to work.
Buckle your seatbelt, Dorothy. Because Kansas is going bye-bye.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.